Welcome back into Press Row here in the Home Rate Mortgage Studios at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. We hope everybody out there is having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back in to Press Row ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg, the former coach at Virginia Tech. Seth, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful.
Let's start with the SEC, and I'm curious because if you look at this snapshot of just this week, and I know things can change, but the highest-ranked AP team is Kentucky at 21 with Auburn right behind at 22. Yet if you look at the various bracketologies, you know, these predicted brackets out there, the SEC could have 8 or 9 teams in this field. So I'm kind of curious. Obviously, the SEC built some momentum with getting 3 in the Elite Eight last year, but do you see the SEC having a team or two that could make a deep run, not just get into the tournament, but make a run at the Final Four or even win the thing?
Getting a little greedy in the SEC right now.
Exactly.
You know, a couple of years ago, you'd be excited to have 3 teams. Now, all of a sudden, you know, how many teams do we have and go to the Final Four? It's a little different. Look, I'm really high on the league in general. I think the league is developing depth. I think the league is more competitive than it's been in years. I think that schools are investing in facilities and coaches and support staff, which obviously you need. And I do think that they're going to get 7 or 8 teams in the NCAA tournament. Now, here's the question. Some of the better teams, like Texas A&M, to me might be one of the most talented teams, they've got to get their act together because that's a team that can get to the second weekend. That's a team that, you know, is really talented, maybe the deepest, most talented front court in the country. Kentucky, it'll be interesting. They're still developing an identity. They're still obviously tweaking what they're doing. They've got to get healthy. They got to find out if Jenner Vanderbilt will be back with them. If they can get him healthy, he changes their team because he's a terrific passer. He's got a floor game. He's unselfish. He rebounds. He'll be an outstanding defender. So when I look at the league, I see a lot of teams that can win games in the tournament. I see teams that potentially can get to the second weekend. But there are also what I call some question marks. You know, as I look like Florida, you know, is John Ogbunu going to be back? If he's back and he can play at a high level, now you got Ogbunu complementing those guards. That changes them. Significantly, it changes them. I think Arkansas, even though they've struggled, I like this Arkansas team because I like senior guards. They could be a second-weekend team. Alabama has struggled away from home, and they've got to find a way to win some games at home or they're not going to be in an NCAA tournament. Georgia has a player in Yante Maton. Rashawn Hammonds is improving. And Tennessee is as tough a team, maybe, as there is in the country. So I see like 7 teams getting in. I'm not sure I see more than 2 or 3 with a chance to get to the second weekend.
All right, let's talk about Auburn, though, because obviously that is a team that won last night to get to 15-1. Obviously, everybody around these parts know who Bruce Pearl is. This is a team that had to, you know, obviously Wiley and Purifoy have been suspended all year. They open up with an exhibition loss to Berry College just down the road here from Chattanooga. I mean, this is an amazing story. How curious are you not only following the story now, but we really have no idea how this thing could end. I mean, this thing could implode in 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's really interesting. This team is as close to a Bruce Pearl Tennessee team as I've seen. And what I mean by that is they have a little chip. They have a cause. They're undersized, but yet they still rebound the basketball. Sean Murray, I think he's made a difference to Transfer Presbyterian. You know, he brings an edge to them. I think Jared Harper's, you know, done a really, really good job. It's a hard guard, as is Mustafa Heron and Bryce Brown. So I like their team. I like their depth. And I think that they've rallied around each other. And one thing great about young people is they stay in the present and they're a little bit self-centered. So, you know, it's easier for them to move on in a lot of ways. And let's face it, a month and a half ago, we weren't sure if Bruce Pearl was going to be coaching in the middle of January. And not only is coaching, he's thriving in the middle of January.
Yeah, just an amazing story. You're listening to Seth Greenberg, the ESPN college basketball analyst here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
To that end, Seth, and thank you again so much for your time, I mean, when you go back to November, everything that was the discussion points of college basketball felt grimy and FBI related. Have you, A, heard anything else about the next round of this thing? And B, is it, how much of an eggshell type of walk when you talk to other coaches is kind of the landscape of college basketball right now?
You know, here's the deal. No one's, if someone's telling you, well, they spoke to someone who knows. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. For 2.5 years, no one knew. Like, the dudes we're dealing with, the FBI, they're not talking to anyone.
Right.
They're not talking to sources. You know, there's no insiders. That's, you know, it sounds good. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I talked to someone who knows someone who talked to the FBI.
Right, right.
Like, you know, those guys wear dark sunglasses and dark suits and walk around and don't talk to anyone.
Now, if anybody had that source, it would be Dick Vitale, right? I mean, if Dick Vitale
No, it wouldn't be Dick Vitale. It would be the Greenberg or Billis, to be honest with you. Here's the deal. It was a cloud over our sport. There's no doubt about it. And that cloud still hangs. Although we've had such an exciting start to our season, let's face it. Champions Classic to, you know, the emergence of the Marvin Bagleys and the DeAndre Aytons and, you know, to see Trey Young and his story and what's going on in Oklahoma, the death of the Big 12, the comeback of the SEC. So is it hanging over, everyone said? Yeah, because we don't know when the next, you know, bomb is dropping, basically. I mean, who knows? We might not hear anything for a while. It might come out, you know, the first day of February. So everyone's kind of cautiously optimistic because the start of the season has been so good. But anyone who tells you they know, I can tell you they don't know what they don't know.
Thank you. You just went full-blown Yogi Bear on us. They don't know what they don't know.
They don't know what they don't know.
That is great. Let me ask you this, because you mentioned his name, and I'm having a hard time, and I want your help on this. I grew up a big-time college basketball fan and loved it through the 80s and loved watching it. Trey Young now is appointment television for me. If I said he's the most exciting player in college basketball since, how do you finish that sentence?
Ooh, that's a good one right there now. Obviously the first thing would be, you know, Steph Curry's the year that he took over the imagination of college basketball. I would think that, you know, you could go, you know, back to that. Maybe John Wall.
Okay, I like that one.
I think that could be one that people could, you know, could relate to. Or you could go to, like, last year when he was playing at a high level, and I'm not a fan of the family, but I'm a fan of this kid, is Lonzo Ball, who basically took a program the year before that, you know, didn't make anything and, you know, made him relevant again. And it's kind of the same thing. I mean, year before, I think Oklahoma won 12 games, and now they're more than relevant. They're appointment television. And, you know, to me, he is really special because he can do two things. He can make plays for himself. He can make plays for other people. And then because of your defensive game plan, he spreads you out to the point where he gives you opportunities to get to the offensive glass. The only way to guard him is to get the ball out of his hands and don't let him get it back. And once he crosses the logo, he's got a green light.
Yeah, it is a green light, and it is glorious and fun to watch. I'm curious, you mentioned a name right there that is, I'm certain, creating ripple effects in Bristol. He's created ripple effects throughout basketball at multiple levels. What is your take on LeVar Ball, and what is your take on the NBA coaches trying to tell ESPN what they can cover in regards to LeVar Ball?
I think, let me ask you this. I got a question. Are you a parent? Do you have kids?
Yes. I've got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I coach both their basketball teams.
All right, would you let your son jump off the second-story balcony into a swimming pool? Because LeVar Ball did that right on television. If your son was playing basketball and his team lost and the guy that he was matched up with dropped about 40, would you go and say, well, you know, I'll tell you one thing. You know, the reason UCLA didn't win is we got too many slow white guys. I don't think you would do that. Would you go onto a television program and be disrespectful to a female reporter, or go coach your son's team, take his team off the court, and then berate a female official? Would you go and take a junior in high school out of school, move him to a country where no one speaks your language, to market your shoe and your brand? So, look, I'm a big Lonzo Ball fan, and obviously he's got nice kids. But when he made fun of getting arrested in a communist country and talked light of that, and if you look at the history, you know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for American basketball. And, you know, I mean, it's part of the culture we live in, but it's hurting the credibility of the good people that cover the sport of basketball to give this guy a credible platform.
Well said, Seth.
Seth, and our final question, one of the other things that's kind of come up in recent days, and I know Jay Billis weighed on this pretty quickly, Ted Valentine. I covered a lot of ACC basketball tournaments in the 90s, and it seemed like Dick Paparo was as familiar of a face as an official as Dean Smith and Coach K. Obviously, Ted Valentine, a lot of people obviously know who he is. His situation the other day with Joel Berry in the Carolina FSU game, kind of what's your take on that with Ted Valentine?
I coached in the ACC for 8 years and Big East for a year and other conferences, and Ted Valentine coached my ref my games. I can tell you one thing. You put up with the antics because he's a terrific play caller. That's just the way it is. So, yeah, do I think he was wrong? Maybe in his antics, yes. But I take him any night, especially on the road, because he's not going to get influenced by an opposing player or a Hall of Fame coach. He's going to call the game, and he's going to get it right most of the times. So, and I disagree with Jay in that. Yeah, I understand what Jay was saying, but he hasn't coached, and he hasn't gone into an arena where it wasn't that way. I know one thing. I always got a fair shake when Ted Valentine was on my game.
Seth, great. I know we touched on a lot of topics. Thank you so much for bouncing around with us and for providing the insight here on Press Row on ESPN 105 on The Zone.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good one.
All righty. Seth Greenberg, the ESPN college basketball analyst, joining us here. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.